It's neat to see how he brings together a message. I feel like I've really been ministered to already this morning through the songs and through the special music. You know, I don't even remember if I gave Ken my sermon title ahead of time, but I tell you, this theme of peace is important. And this is the title of our, the start off, the very first verse that we're going to look at says, "Now may the God of peace." And I tell you, we've heard about the God of peace this morning. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And I love that song we just heard. I'm saved evermore. I'm just reminded that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And also, in thinking about that rest, Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And Brother Ken, that third verse of that, "It is well with my soul," gets me every time, because there's the object of our peace, that Jesus took our hostility and our sin, not just part of it, but in whole, and he nailed it to the cross. And so we can have peace that passes all understanding. I tell you, now may the God of peace. Hebrews 13, verse 20. And we'll go ahead and stand and read these two verses. And then I'll have a little introduction for you. "Brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." May we be blessed by the reading and teaching of his word. You may be seated. Well, this is our final message throughout the book of Hebrews. We've been here about, I didn't add them up, but probably 10 to 12 weeks. And it's fitting to close not only from last week looking at practical implications of our faith, of faith in action, of living out the faith. This week we have a prayer that this writer or preacher prays for this group of believers. And it's a beautiful, I think it's one of the most beautiful prayers in all of Scripture. It's a benediction, it's a doxology. It is so God-centered, God-focused, and it's just refreshing in a day in which we live to where it seems like people are at the center, and with all of our profiles and all of our social media and all of our stories. And this right here is exalting the Lord God and His Son, Jesus Christ. But there's also some a good encouraging word for us as we move forward as a church, as the body of believers here, and these Christians that have come out of Judaism, this writer and preacher is encouraging him to press on. But he's giving God all the credit and power. We're going to look this morning, as we have a little review, I want us to look at and remember that we started out looking at so great a salvation. Some of our themes in Hebrews, we've looked at Jesus Christ is greater. In the early chapters, he was greater than angels. He was greater than Moses. The new covenant superseded the old covenant. In Jesus, all things were yes and amen. Right? Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Jesus is our Redeemer and our Deliverer. He's the apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus is the high priest of a better covenant. Hebrews 12 says he's the founder and perfecter of our faith. And then we moved down to Hebrews 11 and we talked about faith. We looked at its assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then we moved to chapter 13 and we fleshed that out. And since Jesus had begun the work and Jesus was going to finish the work, we were reminded that faith endures, faith perseveres. We saw the ones that helped motivate us through the faithful lives of the saints who had endured great suffering as that great cloud of witnesses shouted and exclaimed glory to Christ, and their lives were had proven true to the faith that they professed in Jesus, that many of them died at the sword and were hiding and faced great difficulty. As we saw that faith persevered, we saw faith in action in Hebrews 13, and we heard things like, let brotherly love continue. Show hospitality to strangers. Remember those in prison. Hold marriage in honor. Keep free from the love of money. You remember these messages? We looked at last week, remembering our leaders. We looked at resisting the strange teachers and strange teachings. We looked at renouncing the world and going outside the camp, following Jesus to a place of suffering and to carry our cross. Deny the world. How could we be comfortable in this world when it pushed Jesus out? We must follow Him, denying ourselves, taking our cross and following Him. And then we looked at, lastly, rejoicing in Jesus and offering our lives as sacrifices of praise. We no longer bring bulls and goats to altars. Paul said in Romans 12, we lay ourselves up on the altar. And rejoicing in Jesus talked about we give Him praise through lips of service, or through acts of service, but through lips that give Him praise. So we talked about our lives should bring honor and glory to Christ. And now we get down here and we see this writer, a final benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will. What's the purpose of the equipping? With everything good, that we may do His will. Working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So this morning, we're going to look at a little section that we looked in our sermon last week. It talked about strengthened in grace. If you look at verse 9, go back to Hebrews 13, 9. Strengthened by grace. Remember, it says, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Remember, the writer and preacher is calling the people to leave the sacrificial system. Remember, they're to come out of the traditions of men and these works-oriented rituals that were supposedly kind of giving them their notches in their belt and making them feel like they're okay. Well, now Jesus has fulfilled. In Jesus, a new covenant has superseded. And so now we're to go out and we're to follow Christ, but it says that we're to be strengthened by grace and not by these foods. We're to be strengthened by grace and not by these rituals and these washings. And so looking at that, I couldn't help but to think that this morning, I think that that's what this writer is saying when he says, now may the God of peace equip you to do His will. May He work in you so that you'll be pleasing to Him for His honor and for His glory. We're going to talk this morning about being strengthened in grace, being equipped, being allowing God to work in and through us for His glory, looking at the one who does the strengthening and looking at the goal of why He works in us and through us. So we looked at, we're going to flip over to Colossians 1, 9 and through 14 as we look at being strengthened by grace. This is one of many prayers through the Bible. If you want to learn to pray, I suggest start at the beginning of Colossians, start at the beginning of Philippians, start at the beginning of Ephesians, and look at the prayer of the Apostle Paul. Go into Thessalonians, read through the Psalms, and you hear fresh, God-centered, Christ exalting, people bowing down in humble adoration and praise and thanksgiving to a God who is almighty, all-powerful. And even in this text, we're going to look at the one who strengthens is the God of peace, the God of power, and then the God of the pasture. And that is actually a God who provides and a God who protects. Because we're going to look at Christ Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And I think about a shepherd, and the two strongest qualities of a shepherd is one who provides and protects. And so Jesus was God's provision, And that's how we have peace. But we're going to get into that in a second. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now look at this. Fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now verse 11, we're going to see where this strength, we're going to see where this walk, where this wisdom, where this understanding, where this feeling comes from as we seek God in prayer. Verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to what? His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. Now remember, in walking the walk of faith, it says looking to Jesus, the what? Author and perfecter of our faith. So now it says that as we're looking at this, we're giving thanks. It says that may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Remember, the author, faith is a gift of God. God helps impart faith to our heart. Faith endures because the protecting power, prevailing Spirit of God now indwells His believers. And so it says that may you be strengthened with all His power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. Now look, this is why we give thanks. Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I can't help but to jump ahead in my notes and automatically go ahead to the God of peace. Remember Colossians 1:20, having made peace by the blood of His cross. Remember we were enemies of God. We were holding up our puny hands and fists in God's face, saying we're going to do it our way. We're going to go our own direction. And God in Ephesians 2 talks about He, though we were following the prince of this world and following the power of darkness, that God, even though we were dead in our trespasses and sin, He breathed life into us. He helped us believe. And all of a sudden now, that wall of hostility, Colossians 1:20 says He's made peace by the blood of His cross. Now we've got sinful man and we've got a holy God and we've got this bridge that's in the shape of a cross that's bridged the gap. So now we can have peace. Now we've been forgiven of our sin. We've been set free from our guilt and our condemnation. And so now it says that Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith in Colossians 1 here, it says giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. But it says He's delivered us from the domain of darkness. There it is. Even Hebrews 2 talks about that. How we were in slavery, but now He took on flesh and became one of us and sympathized with us in our weaknesses so that through His power He can deliver us who all of our life had been captive to fear, bondage, slavery, sin, condemnation, which we know leads to death, hell, and God's judgment. Propitiation, there's a big theological word that means that Jesus stood in our place and bore the wrath of God so that we might be set free. That's why we can pray that the God of peace, that's why He is a God of peace. That's why we can sing about that rest. That's why we can know about that hope. That's when our world comes crashing down and hope seems unwavering to crash through a relationship or through the loss of a job, we can still hold our head up. Because Jesus is on the throne and that He has already rid us of our greatest enemies. And we're His children and He loves us and He's going to protect us and He's going to lead us. He's going to provide for us. And He's going to show us that power that raised Him from the dead in and through our life. We're getting there. He qualified you to share in the inheritance of saints in light. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness. He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is Paul's prayer. He said, I thank God for you. I pray to you. I pray to God. I pray that He would strengthen you. He would give you hope that you've heard the truth of the gospel. Now you're bearing fruit and you're growing in Him. He's praying for wisdom. He's praying for knowledge. He's praying that you would bear fruit. He's praying that you would increase in the knowledge of God, that you would be strengthened in power according to His glorious might for endurance and patience with joy. Remember, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so we're hearing this word of exhortation and benediction, and now may the God of peace. Now may the God of peace. Now look at the next verse, phrase, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a, not only is He the God of peace, He's the God of all power. And we saw His amazing power in raising His Son from the dead. This is a clear reference to the resurrection. Sealing of victory. The bringing about of that peace. Jesus, who came to be true to His mission. Even though He swapped drips of blood and prayed that, if it be Your will, remove this cup from me, but not my will, but Thy will be done, as He went outside the city gate, as He offered Himself among sinners, among thieves, as He faced all of God's wrath and the sin that we were due, as He bore the reproach of sin and the ugly effects of it, as He was spit upon, as He was beaten, as He was mocked, as He was shamed, as He was bruised, as the blood flowed, He said, "It is finished." And He died. But 3 days later, as God had said, He rose Jesus from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead. And this is a picture of all power for believers. Now the God of peace, who gives us rest, who gives us comfort, who calms our fears. Now may He, but also the God who also brought up the Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd. So we see the God of peace, the God of power, but now we see the God of provision and protection, the God of the pasture. We think about Jesus. He's our provider. He provided by laying His life down. That Hebrews talks all about it. We now no longer need a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. And now we get to go into the Holy of Holies because Jesus has made it possible to come to the presence of God. Now we have peace with God. We're no longer enemies of God. We're friends with God. And so because of His power, we've been made right. And so now this exhortation is to that we would be equipped and that God would continue to work in us. But it's made possible because of the God of peace and the God of power. And now the Good Shepherd. God, Jesus was our provision. But now Jesus is our provider and our protector. Do you see that? Do you see that? This was kind of tough to know how to structure it. So hang in here with me this morning. Because I promise when we finish these two verses, you're going to hear about an almighty God. And you're going to hear how to be equipped and how to allow God to work in you for His honor and for His glory, for the endurance and for the pressing on and for so that your faith could be continued to be seen. As powerful through Jesus. So it's the work that Jesus began. It's the work that Jesus completes. He's done it by giving us peace. He's done it by showing us almighty power. God has shown us that by offering His Son, who was the great shepherd, our provider and our protector. And then what does it say? By the blood of the eternal covenant, the great shepherd. By the blood of the eternal covenant. So we continue to see these references to that blood that was sufficient. Remember, we're to be strengthened by grace. Not by foods, not by rituals, not by works. Not by trying to, as we heard, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. This is what is the problem here. And this is what happens. The trap is we think that there's something we can do to make ourselves right before God. And so like that we're being warned to flee these rituals and ceremonies, many of us participate in it. Because we think that maybe by coming to church, maybe by being baptized, we think that maybe by if we can just fight through that sin of lust and maybe we can just set up some good boundaries and if we could never go into certain places and And if we could just stay away from certain people, that we're going to be okay. And guys, you're not. You're not going to be okay by trying to conform to some kind of rituals and rules and regulations. The only way you're going to be okay is to allow Jesus to live in and through your life. To let Jesus to come and wash you and to cleanse you, to begin that work of faith. To help you to endure. To help you, to equip you, to work in and through you. You know, all these prayers in Philippians and Colossians and Ephesians, they talk about this supernatural work going on in believers that's because of Christ, and it's through Him and for Him and by Him, and He's the one that gets the glory because your light's reflecting His power working in and through you. You can't be good enough. You can't earn God's favor. You can't do enough acts of righteousness. You can't give enough money to the poor to be okay in God's sight. Your righteousness is as filthy rags before God. So it only makes sense that this final concluding benediction and doxology gives the praise where praise is due. The God of peace. The God of power. The God who showed His power by giving His Son, the great shepherd, our shepherd. Do you notice that? There's this our shepherd. You know, to be the shepherd, you got to have sheep. When Jesus went to the cross, He was pardoning. He was ransoming. He was setting free people who were in chains. He's the great shepherd, and we're His sheep. There's this object of redemption that He has begun this work. He's going to continue this work, and He's going to seal you by His Spirit. He's going to carry you into glory, and He's going to sanctify you, and He's going to glorify you, all for His honor and all for His praise. There is nothing you have done in your salvation but hit your knees and cry out in mercy and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And God has helped you believe. God has taken you from the pits of hell. He's taken you from the power of this enemy that ruled and reigned in your heart. And so how can this final concluding go to any kind of remarks other than may God, the giver of peace, the giver of power, and the giver of protection and provision, may He now equip you. May He now continue to work in you so that He can accomplish His will, so that He can bring about what pleases Him. Do you get this, guys? This is a God-glorifying doxology. This is not a man-centered, watered-down, I hope, help you be good, help you to perform these rules, help you to go to these law to do the things God asks you to do. These were seen in Hebrews 13 as He talked about continuing brotherly love. These were seen as he talked to you about showing hospitality, remembering those in prison, holding marriage in honor, keeping free from the love of money, remembering your leaders, resisting teaching, renouncing the world, rejoicing in Jesus. Yes, these are practical implications of the faith, but these are not things to earn God's favor. You have been overwhelmed by God's grace, and He's now worked in your heart. Ephesians 2, let's look at it. Ephesians 2, 7, 8, and even 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. Now look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship. And this is why I started out the way I started out, that we want to be strengthened by grace. Let me tell you why. God's begin the work. God's going to help the work continue. God's going to complete the work. And so now look at verse 10. It even solidifies this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We've been created in Christ Jesus. We're a new nature. We're a new person. The old is gone. The new has come. We're now no longer living in filthy rags. We're set free. We're a child of God. And so we've been created by new birth. We've been born again. All right? Not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What for? What? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's why He says that may the God of peace, who brought you again from the dead of our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, this is why, may He equip you with everything good that you may do His will. We make God's will a mystery. You know what God's will is? Allow Jesus to work in and through us. To seek Him. To spend time with Him. To allow Him to teach us. to rejoice in His love. I think one of the, John Piper says, God's most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in Him. This is God's will, is to be satisfied in Jesus, to rejoice in Him, to remember the anchor of our faith that our leaders talk about in Jesus, to celebrate Jesus' work on the cross, to rejoice in that peace, to rest in that holiness, that righteousness that God has now begun in us, that He's fulfilled, to realize that our sanctification is His work. He's going to complete it. Now may the God of peace, the God of power, the God of provision, the God of protection, may He equip you with everything good that you may do His will. Guys, this is my prayer for, this is how I pray for First Baptist Church Fallville. I pray that God would equip us with everything good that we may do His will. As we think about our theme this year, as we think about looking upward, reaching outward, striving together for the faith of the gospel, I pray that God would open your eyes, that He would overwhelm you with His holiness and with His power, and that He would equip you for what everything good that you need to live for Him, to be strengthened in Him, to be strong in the Lord, to reflect that glory, that love that Jesus displayed, to live out that hope of the calling we have in Jesus. That's what I pray for First Baptist Church Fallville. I don't pray that you would be better. I don't pray necessarily that you... I do pray that you would be nicer to one another. And I do pray that you would forgive one another. I do pray that you would be unified. But I pray that we would be living in and through Christ. We are His workmanship. We've been created in Jesus. We're abiding in the vine. And so, I pray for God to continue to equip us so that our faith will endure, so that we would be doing God's will. Should I marry this person? Should I marry that person? Should I go to this school? Should I go to that school? I've been there, guys. What about this job? Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? What about? Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to know the decisions to make. But the biggest and most important decision is that we allow Jesus to live in and through us, that we believe on the Lord Jesus, that we rest in Him, we reside in Him, we abide in Him, and then praying that He would help us take the right steps. We pray that He would equip us by His Word, by His power. So that, now why do we pray for His equipping? Why do I pray that you would be equipped? Why does this writer pray that He would equip you with everything good? So that we may do His will. What's the Lord's will? Love mercy, Micah 6:8. Act justly or do justly, walk humbly with thy God. We complicate the Christian life sometimes, guys. Don't do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, God, don't do this. Man, we're checking boxes, and Jesus says, just be satisfied in me. Everything is lawful, but not edifying to you. Your body's a temple, but these meats, I've given them to you. I fulfilled. You know, yeah, there's things we need to be careful about. And yeah, there's things that are going to make us unholy and impure. And yeah, there are things that God's going to, through His Spirit, going to say, stay away from. But live in Jesus. He set us free not to go back to slave, not to go back to chains and bondage and captivity and rules and regulations and rituals. That you may be equipped with every good thing, that you may do His will. And then it says, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. Who's doing the strengthening? Who's doing the equipping? The God of all power. The God of peace. The God who provides. The God who protects. He's the one doing the equipping. He's the one doing working in you. And He's doing it for a purpose. What's the purpose? Why is God willing and working in us? And then before I go further, that's the problem with me. I make a lot of notes and I don't look at them. Some of y'all might think it'd be good to let me look at my notes, and it probably would. But Philippians 2 talks about this. It says it in verses 12 and 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but also much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So he does say work it out. But now look at this. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for what? His good pleasure. I don't know, guys. I don't understand it completely. Yeah, we're to do it, but it says God's given us the strength and He's working in us to will and to work for His good pleasure. So God's doing the work for His honor and for His glory. We also see this in other places. God works and wills for His good pleasure. Colossians, flip back to Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Remember, we talked about proclaiming Christ. And we looked at Him, we proclaim, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. But then Paul says, you know, he says, we proclaim, we teach and warn everybody because we want to present everyone mature in Christ. But then he says in verse 29, for this I toil, and it says struggling or laboring with all what? His energy that He powerfully works in me. Do y'all see it? Jesus, the Almighty God the Father, has begun a work in us through Christ. And through that power that raised Christ from the dead, He now abides in us through the power of His Spirit. And the work that we do and the things that we do as we're called to live out our faith, to proclaim Christ, to warn people, to teach people, to remember our leaders, to resist strange teachings, to continue in brotherly love, to be content and not chase after money. As we do these things, we do them through the what? Through the energy that He powerfully works in me. We work and labor and toil through the power of Christ who is now living through His people. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, for who, those who have not seen me face to face. Here's a prayer again. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. Now look at this. The knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He just prayed for them that their hearts would be knitted together in love and that they would be rich in knowledge and understanding. And then he says that, but the understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's where our strength is found, in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the mystery, the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom, the fruit of righteousness, the fruits of the Spirit, strength for the journey, endurance, patience, perseverance. All of these attributes are attributes of the Holy Spirit that come from Christ abiding through His people. And so in this benediction, the declaration and the command and the encouragement and exhortation is the word I'm looking for, is that we would be equipped by Christ's power indwelling believers as we strive and labor that we would accomplish His will as He works in and through us. And He's doing these things in and through His people because we are His. So it only makes sense that He is doing this for His glory and for His honor. What is it? Let your light so shine before men that people may see your good works and do what? Give glory. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that people may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Our lives are to be lived through God's power, through God's peace, resting in His provision, exalting in His protection, and living in what He's done and accomplished for His honor and for His glory. He's the shepherd. We are the sheep. We must come to the end of ourselves and realize that we cannot live the life Christ lived unless He lives in it through us, lives it through us in His power and for His Father's glory. Quit trying to do it yourself. That's legalism. That's no different than the Pharisees. The only way to the Father is coming through Jesus. His payment on the cross and His work as our high priest was sufficient. And we make a mockery of His blood by trying to say we trust Jesus in His work, but yet we need to do something else to add to it. That is not right. And it dishonors God. There's no higher aim in life than to do the will of God as we allow Jesus to live in and through us and perfect us. We're strengthened by grace. So when we pray for one another, and also there's just as we conclude, there's a good lesson in prayer here. Pray for God to move. Pray for God to work. Pray for God to exalt His name. Pray for God to strengthen His people. Pray that we would humble ourselves before Him and that His might, His love, His power, His peace, His glory would be seen and revealed. There's a good lesson in prayer here. I'm not going to get into it completely. But as we humble ourselves before God, this is the type of things that we need to pray for God to equip and to work His will, to work in us, and that we would be pleasing in His sight as we abide in Christ and as we live for Him. Remember, we're strengthened by grace, not by works. May this year we be the people that God's called us to be, not focusing inward, but looking upward, reaching outward, striving together. And we do this by His might, by His strength, and we do it for His glory. We do it for the exaltation of His Son, right? That's who God's worried about, His Son being exalted. And He's worked in us, and we are His workmanship in Christ to live out the good news, to show people that love, to show people that glory, show people that power, to display that peace. May we be the people God's called us to be. If you don't know God's love, if you don't know His peace, if you don't live in His strength and His victory and by the power of the resurrecting life that invades us through the power of His Spirit living in and through us, if you don't know that power, if you've not been touched by His grace, I pray that you would look at Jesus, that you would die to self, and that you would turn from yourself, turn from your sin, and ask Jesus to save you. Live in that victory. Rest in that holiness and that righteousness. Be who He's called you to be. And only we can only do God's will as God's people. We can only do God's will if we are God's people. And so I cry out to you and say, if you're not a child of God, may today be the day of salvation. Because as we move forward as a church, we've got to move forward unified in Christ. And so the people of God, only the people of God can do the will of God and bring the glory to God that He wants us to bring. Let's go to Him in prayer.